the value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Welcome to the Investor Download, the podcast about the themes driving markets and the economy now and in the future. I'm your host, David Brett. The last month has been a big one for the video game industry.
Yeah. The news this morning, Take-Two is buying Zynga. The takeout price is $9.86, comes out to a value of $12.7 billion.
A game-changing deal on Wall Street today. Microsoft announced plans it'll buy the video game maker Activision Blizzard. It's an all-cash deal worth nearly $70 billion. If it closes,
then at odds, Sony is buying Bungie, the maker of Destiny, another seismic gaming deal that comes just 2 weeks after Microsoft purchased Activision Blizzard. Bungie put Xbox on the map.
A flurry of multi-billion dollar deal making involving some of the biggest names in the industry have seen Microsoft, Sony, and Take-Two jockey for position in the future of gaming. Take-Two's $12.7 billion bid for Zynga saw it take a bet on the future of mobile gaming, while Sony's $3.6 billion bid to buy Bungie, the creator of the Halo and Destiny franchises, bolstered its stable of production studios in an attempt to expand the reach of its PlayStation console. But that was in direct response to the Behemoth deal, which saw Microsoft bid nearly $70 billion for the game developer Activision Blizzard. If the Microsoft-Activision deal goes through, it will be the largest ever in the gaming industry. But it's not just the size of the deal. It's another big step forwards towards Microsoft's vision of becoming the Netflix of gaming.
The main driver Microsoft are going for here is to spin up the Game Pass to get that subscription revenues going.
That's Luke Bierman, a fund manager at Schroders. But it's about more than that too.
I view Activision as sort of the Disney of video games. They have very strong brands, and these brands could be made into much bigger games, much bigger environments.
That's David Speyer, an equity analyst for Schroders based in the US. Those environments that David refers to are what some believe might be the next step in the evolution of the internet. You might have heard of it. It's being called the metaverse.
What they're trying to do with this deal is have building blocks of the metaverse, or potential building blocks of the metaverse, all in one place.
That's Paddy Flood, a specialist in the global technology sector at Schroders. So in this show, we're going to look at what the metaverse is, what it might become, and what that means for companies and investors in the future. But in the first part of the show, we'll take a quick look at the deal which will make Microsoft the third largest gaming company in the world and the broader implications for the gaming industry.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, you're listening to the Investor Download.
Microsoft's $70 billion offer was, at the time, a 45% premium to Activision's stock price. And to many outside the industry, it looked like Microsoft were overpaying for the company, despite Activision's impressive slate of games, which include Call of Duty,
Securing Delta,
Crash Bandicoot,
our enemies are already moving against us.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And not forgetting World of Warcraft.
Ours is a cycle of hatred. Alliances forged and broken. We have paid the price for sharing this world.
However, many in the industry still see the deal as opportunistic.
So Activision, as we all know, have been going through some pretty material cultural issues at the moment. And for that reason, the share price has suffered massively.
So Activision is under fire from multiple regulatory fronts about its culture of harassment towards women.
So a lawsuit from a California government agency filed in July 2021 alleged the gaming behemoth had enabled a frat boy culture and claimed leadership and human resources personnel had turned a blind eye to complaints raised by female employees at the time. By mid-January 2022, Activision announced it had fired or pushed out more than three dozen employees and disciplined another 40 since July 2021.
For that reason, the share price has suffered massively. It's sort of 40% off the 2021 highs. So it gave sort of Microsoft, who is a company that could feasibly fix these cultural issues or go a long way towards fixing them, a sort of opportunistic chance to buy this asset at quite a reasonable price.
Whether Microsoft can fix the cultural issues, only time will tell. And the deal is not set to complete until mid-2023. If it does go through, time will also tell as to whether the deal will be investigated by competition regulators.
I think it's fair to assume that there will be a fair amount of regulatory scrutiny around this deal. Across tech, we see regulators increasingly focused on platforms owning content. So we've seen that with the likes of Amazon, we've seen that with the likes of Apple. And I guess with Microsoft owning Xbox, which is in itself a platform, such a distribution platform, and Activision, a content provider, owning those two things would naturally draw scrutiny from regulators. One of the key things they will also look at beyond market share is sort of existing relationships that Activision have.
One such relationship is with Sony, the maker of PlayStation, which is the rival to Microsoft's Xbox games console, and to whom Activision licenses games such as Call of Duty.
Particularly because if you look at the battle between PlayStation and their Xbox, Call of Duty is the biggest selling franchise on the PlayStation. So they now have a very interesting ownership of a very important asset for PlayStation.
Sony lost $20 billion in share price value immediately after Microsoft announced its planned takeover of Activision. Investors speculated that Microsoft would add Activision's games to its subscription-based Game Pass service, and that would turn Activision's future games into exclusives for Xbox consoles and Windows PCs.
I think it's probably unlikely that Microsoft will be pushing for exclusivity of Activision content on Xbox, partially because of the financial reasons for doing so. Activision, a significant part of their revenue will stem from the sort of PlayStation ecosystem. So there'll be one financial reason, and then regulatory-wise, it might just be a harder sell to push exclusivity.
However, it seems more than coincidental that Sony made the move to buy Bungie so soon after Microsoft bid for Activision. And it's the move by Microsoft to potentially bolster its offering under Game Pass, which it hopes will help create a Netflix of gaming, where gamers pay a monthly fee to play an entire library of games, that has excited investors.
For Netflix, right? Netflix has distribution power and they have content, and they focused on their content machine to create that distribution. Microsoft has distribution and they have a little content, but with Activision, they have a lot more content. So it makes their platform more valuable. It makes extensions to their platform more valuable. And when you think about the future of gaming, they become much more relevant and they could compete more strategically.
And if the Activision deal goes through, that could spark more acquisitions in the industry.
I would think there's going to be more consolidation among the video game players. I think people are waiting, you know, bigger companies are waiting to see how the Microsoft Activision plays out before they maybe, you know, start to acquire a Take-Two or Electronic Arts or Ubisoft or one of those companies. But I think there's going to be much more consolidation.
One argument David puts forward for more deals like the Activision one is that revenues for gaming companies are inherently lumpy. By lumpy, he means that takes a long time from conception and production to going on to sales to consumers. Sometimes up to 5 years, and that's without delays. Then they're reliant on the game being a hit. Tie-ups like Microsoft and Activision and subscription deals like Game Pass could provide everyone with a steadier stream of revenues rather than everyone waiting for one big payday and the game being a blockbuster when it goes on sale.
I do think that a lot of these gaming companies need to sort of consolidate because their performance is just too lumpy. It's too hard to model. And so you put them together and you have a more inclusive portfolio and you're able to have a more predictable level of earnings, which should increase your multiple over time.
But what's also appealing about these deals is their potential to be major players within the metaverse. And that's what we'll be discussing in part two of the show.
Get in touch with us by email at shorterspodcasts at Schroders.com or visit our website, Schroders.com/investor download.
In late 2021, Mark Zuckerberg announced Facebook was changing its name to Meta. At the same time, he revealed his vision of the metaverse.
It's time for everyone's favorite, work. Over the last year and a half, a lot of us who work in offices have gone remote. And while I miss seeing the people I work with, I think remote work is here to stay for a lot of people. So we're going to need better tools to work together. Let's take a look at what working in the metaverse will be like. Imagine if
the presentation was, for me, a little on the creepy side, as the real world around Zuckerberg morphed into a digital one full of meetings and virtual interactions. But perhaps that's just me showing my age.
And I think what Mark Zuckerberg's trying to do is say, hey, we did this and we were early in social. Why can't we do this with the metaverse? And why can't we be the go-to platform? We're not going to be the only, but why we want to be the go-to. And that's very important. And so they're investing, they're taking a big bet, investing billions of dollars to hopefully make this a success.
However, while Zuckerberg's vision of the metaverse is linked uniquely to the products and services of Facebook, or should I say Meta, it's just one of many.
I mean, ultimately, as we move more into living more of our life digitally, we will be doing a lot more of what we do in the physical world, in the digital world, and that becomes easier as there's still clear areas of that can't be replicated at the moment. And as we move towards virtual reality and just the digital technology moves at that exponential pace, we can get closer to realizing that. So I think the very, very end game is through the likes of virtual reality and haptic sensors and the likes, we can try to live a virtual world that feels like a physical world.
Whatever the metaverse is, it's actually not that new. Author Neal Stephenson coined the term metaverse in his 1992 science fiction novel Snow Crash, which envisions a virtual reality-based successor to the internet. And that was only 3 years after Tim Berners-Lee, a British scientist, invented the World Wide Web. And if you're a gamer, you've been involved in some form or another of the metaverse for decades. In 2000, The Sims, the first in a series of life simulation video games, was released. The franchise has sold nearly 200 million copies worldwide, and it's one of the biggest selling video game series of all time. Second Life, however, is considered the pioneer of virtual worlds and possibly the first example of the metaverse. It launched in 2003, and while still popular with diehard fans, it's been overtaken by other virtual worlds.
It is a metaverse, right? It's a mini metaverse, right? Like, it just hasn't been broadly accepted, right? Like, if Facebook bought Second Life and all their users are on it, then it's the metaverse, done. So that's why I'm surprised this metaverse gets thrown around a lot, and it is a real thing, but it's been around. It's just been, just because Facebook made some scuttlebutt on about it on the last call, and they're spending over $30 billion on it. You know, people are like, whoa, like, this is something, but it's always been something.
We've got forms of metaverse already with the likes of Fortnite, where it is a place where people are hanging out. They're not just playing the game. There are modes in Fortnite where you can just hang out with your friends who are gaming. And, you know, people generally like to be doing activities when they're hanging out. And so that's what's sort of facilitating that. So I think we do have a long-term move towards that. And it's not just in the social realm, but I think there's ideas of that happening in the business realms as well.
This is a fascinating story. A Nike is getting in on the NFT craze, filing several trademarks for virtual goods. The company is hoping to protect its mark in digital goods like NFTs or in video games like Fortnite.
This to me has been the promise of NFTs from the beginning. You're going to have your normal closet and a digital closet, and eventually Nike's going to sell you a pair of digital Air Jordans that you're going to wear around the metaverse or in any game that you want.
Yes, you too could outfit your avatar with a pair of virtual Air Jordans in the metaverse, after Nike filed a slew of trademark applications in early November that previewed its plans to sell virtual branded sneakers and apparel. Later that month, it said it was teaming up with Roblox to create an online world called Nikeland. And in December, it bought the virtual sneaker company Artifact for an undisclosed amount. And Walmart appears to be venturing into the metaverse with plans to create its own cryptocurrency and collection of non-fungible tokens, or NFTs as they're known.
But it's not just sales of digital art that have investors' attention. Virtual experiences, like going to a sports game with your friends in the metaverse, that's the next frontier in this technology.
The NFT market is holding up quite well right now. In the first 13 days of the year 2022, we're looking at $3 billion worth of trading volume.
And it's not just the big companies. According to app analytics company Sensor Tower, 86 apps added metaverse to their title or description from November 2021 through January 2022. To date, 552 mobile apps include the term metaverse in their title or description. And index funds of metaverse-related companies have already been created.
So I wouldn't care to speculate too much on the individual companies' motives around sort of releasing those products. And but what I say is it's clearly a way of trying to future-proof their businesses to some extent. But the issue is kind of what Luke alluded to is the concept of the metaverse is fluid and so nascent that no one really knows what they're sort of playing towards. And for that reason, it's really tricky, right? It's really tricky to sort of position your business for something that is so unknown at the moment.
While the metaverse might be hard to define right now, clearly businesses are taking the potential opportunity seriously. And if businesses are taking it seriously, shouldn't investors? That's what's coming up in the final part of the show. If big companies like Microsoft, Facebook and Nike, among many others, are starting to make bets on the metaverse, should investors be taking it into account when deciding which company to invest in?
These big brands are very forward thinking because, you know, creating digital goods, it costs them basically nothing and they could sell it multiple times. It changes their business model to more like a SaaS business model instead of actual hard goods product business model. And so I could see why they're excited about that opportunity. It's tough because I'll be honest with you, I think the bigger video game companies and the bigger brands like, you know, like Nike, Adidas, like I think they're going to play in it and they're already so big that it's not going to be meaningfully different. It's not going to meaningfully augment their growth rate. Like the bet that you're making by investing in these companies today is, you know, you're not going to see a lot of movement in price because of the metaverse. We're still too early. And so there's not really, I can't think of any sort of pure play metaverse other than Roblox, pure play metaverse companies out there that you could really invest in to take advantage of what you're saying.
So I think the very, very end game is through the likes of virtual reality and haptic sensors and the likes, we can try to live a virtual world that feels like a physical world. I think that's a long way off. And I don't think too many people are expecting that in the next 5 years, for instance. This is a conversation that I've had with multiple companies in the video gaming industry in Europe, and they play it down in the short term.
But Luke says it still makes for a fascinating future, one in which businesses are jockeying for position in an unknown world. And the move by Facebook and Microsoft's acquisition of Activision has enlivened the conversation around businesses' exposure to the metaverse, in particular the gaming industry.
It certainly makes it a really fascinating landscape. This industry does have relatively low barriers to entry. Those have reduced over time with the off-the-shelf gaming engines and the likes. So it can move in a fluid fashion, and you've got a huge spectrum of ways to invest in this industry, from some real micro-cap companies all the way up to, as we see from this discussion, the large cap players. You already had, I mean, it's fascinating the timing of this, because just 2 weeks prior, you had Take-Two buy into or bid for Zynga, one of the biggest publishing platforms on the mobile side. So with the fall in valuations and the fluid moving of the industry and how the strategic pieces are falling, there is a lot of activity going on. But like I said, ultimately, if you create good games, the revenues come. So there's still very interesting opportunity, for instance, the indie players, which are the small houses that are making games on a much smaller budget. So it's definitely making it fascinating around the publishing piece. But I still think that there's tremendous opportunity in the smaller developers and the support services around that as well.
So while it's too early to say whether the metaverse has changed the game for investors, that's not to say investors shouldn't be considering it.
The only other thing I'd add on sort of whether the metaverse has changed the game for investors is just thinking more holistically. So even though it's a very nebulous concept, there's a lot of investment going behind it from a lot of different players in the industry, and that will create a huge amount of opportunities across the tech spectrum, whether it be semiconductors to facilitate the hardware, software players, whether that be in the communication space or the gaming space. So I would say that there's just a, even though it's so nascent, there's potentially a lot of opportunity and I guess risk for investors when thinking about the future prospects of businesses across the tech space.
Here's what else investors are talking about. The Ukraine crisis highlights the need for investors to be ready for risks, writes Group Chief Investment Officer and Co-Head of Investment Johanna Kirkland. As ever, with geopolitical risks, the stakes are incredibly high and we're faced with seemingly binary outcomes. These risks are unforecastable. Clearly, nobody can read the Russian president's mind, but nevertheless, we are at a point where the probability of adverse outcomes is significant. If you want to read more of Johanna's article, Putin and the Fed Remind Us What Risk Looks Like, you can go to schroders.com/insights, where you can read, watch and listen to much, much more. That was the show. Our thoughts and prayers are with all those involved in the conflict in Ukraine. If you have any questions you'd like to put to us or to our experts, then please email schroderspodcast@schroders.com. And you can find more at schroders.com/theinvestor download. Please rate and review the show on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. But above all, please keep safe.